Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Thanks for joining me for the Smarter Business Moves podcast. If content marketing is part of your growth strategy, head over to my new podcast, Content Marketing School, and visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com for resources. Now let's get on with the show. Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Thank you for joining me for the Smarter Career and Business Moves podcast. My goal is always to inform, educate, and inspire. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are joining us from today. Sorry about that little hiccup in the opening. I hope it wasn't seen outside of the studio. I'm Annette Richmond. This is the Smarter Career and Business Moves LinkedIn live show and podcast. And I'm so excited to have Shelly here with me again today because we've spoken before. It's always a good conversation. And as I was saying to you before we went live, it's so much fun to have a guest on where you know you're just going to be hanging out and talking. So for anyone who doesn't know who you are, please share a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So if you don't know who I am a career coach. I specifically focus on helping people in their careers, especially when it comes to job search. But also if you are confused about what to do, that's a lot of people actually. They've been doing things for a while. It's been going okay until it doesn't go okay. And then they're trying to figure out what's next. And I help them with that. My background prior to becoming a coach was in human resources and in recruitment. So I have been on the other side of that interview desk for many, many years. So I can impart my wisdom, what I've learned over my career to help job seekers.
Well, I will say to anyone who's listening, if you don't know what you want to do, it's important that you go to someone like Shelly who actually can help you with that. Like me, for example, I don't do that. So, you know, you have to make sure that you're going to someone and that's their area because it takes certain set of skills that everybody doesn't have. So, Shelly, I love the idea, as I mentioned to you about having the career GPS. And, I have my thoughts about what that might be, but for people that don't, and we can talk about, you know, how my thoughts may compare to what it actually is. Why don't you give us a little sort of overview of what that means to have that career GPS?
Well, sure. When I was thinking about my business, I was thinking about what I've learned over my career and in HR working with a lot of people. And what happens to people oftentimes is they think about one job until they're unhappy with that job. And then they think about another job and they don't really plan their career. They don't think about kind of what they want to do, what strengths they want to use, what environment that is best for them. And they end up being a little bit haphazard. And that's how people oftentimes end up in roles that just are not a good fit for them. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you do a little bit more deep work and to figure out what is best for you, and that also can change over time. So that is another element of it. Just because you wanted to do something in your 20s doesn't mean in your 40s that is still what you want to do. So really taking an assessment of yourself, thinking about what you want, what your values are, and then crafting a career around that.
So, a lot of the clients that I work with are, you know, more senior level. They've had a career. They've been on a career path. And for many, it's been deliberate. They fall into something like right out of college and they decide, you know, this is it for me. And I want to just pursue this. But for someone who is not sure, you know, I know I stumbled around a bit and had a bunch of different careers. What can they do to start sort of formulating that career GPS?
Yeah, I can understand that. I sort of am like you, Annette. My college roommate wanted to be a doctor, and she was very, very clear about what she needed to do to do that. She became an OBGYN, still practices. So, you know, there's some people like that who absolutely know. But I was sort of in the boat of, I didn't want to do what my parents did. That didn't interest me. But again, what was there to do? And I sort of fell into my first job because it aligned with my college major, which I think a lot of people do, right? Mm-hmm. But it ended up, that particular job was not a good fit for me. It really wasn't. And had I been wise enough or had been directed in that time when I was in school to really understand myself better, what my interests were, what I did well, what I didn't do particularly well, and really thought about what aligned with that, I wouldn't have probably pursued that job. I would have done something else. Mm-hmm. Now, it ended up working well in the end because I met my husband there. So I'm not going to take that back. But, you know, when I think about the work part of that job, it really wasn't a good fit. And it took me a while to get to where it made sense for me.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that. I went to college right after high school. I didn't even last a semester before I dropped out, and I spent years in the restaurant business trying to figure out what I might do next, and, you know, went back to school later. But, you know, and I'm curious to hear how people can sort of shift. Now, I have a good friend of mine who actually became a lawyer. She went to school, she went to law school, she passed the bar the first time, and then decided, you know what, this is not for me, and went into PR. And it was just never, you know, this is someone who she worked as a paralegal while going to school, but not, you know, didn't practice law. So what do you suggest for someone who may, you know, maybe in that type of situation, like, you know, like you were and that I was, it's like, you know, I'm doing this now, you know, I worked as a in corporate for a while, and then I ended up switching to something else. How do people know that that might be an idea for them? And what do they do to kind of shift? Because I think it's scary for people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's because you're going into the unknown. Absolutely. It's scary. And you might have been pushed into a job or a career by your parents or your friends. And so there's a lot of momentum, honestly, to keep you where you were going. So in my case, back in my early 20s, I took a job as an economist with the Department of Labor. I was an economics major. Made sense. My parents were thrilled. Why? Because it was a steady job. Good benefits, all those things that they particularly valued. But it wasn't really too long into that time when I realized that it didn't fit me very well, not my interests or particularly what I did well. So what I did at that time, and I have done it multiple times as I have transitioned into different careers, is I really did a lot of thought about what was it that I really enjoyed doing. Where did my skills best fit? And in that case, at that time, I thought about, you know, what were some of the jobs that I had? You know, it didn't have to be a big job, but what was it that I enjoyed about these various jobs I had? What did that tell me about myself? And so it helped me clarify really why the job I was in wasn't a good fit. That's always really important information. But then again, what else can you do, right? So in my particular case, I went back and I thought, oh, you know, I really enjoyed hospitality work. I like the, you know, the dealing with the public. I like the business aspect of it. I like problem solving. There was a lot of it that it seemed to fit well for me. And so that's how I ended up doing that. Now, I did all this work on my own. And that can be hard. And for some people, that it's just impossible for them to do. Really is. So one of the things that I am currently is a UMAP coach. Mm-hmm. So what does UMAP mean? UMAP is a way to help you better understand yourself so that you can make better decisions. So in the career space, it helps you because you really understand your strengths, your innate abilities. You don't even have to think about them, but you do them well. And those are the things that other people notice. Well, when you're using those strengths in a job, things are easier. You're more engaged. So that's ideal, but you need to know what they are, right?
Yeah.
You want to also know your skills. So skills a little bit different because those are learned, but there are some skills that you are great at, but you don't like doing.
Yep.
You know, and there's other skills that, you know, you really enjoy doing. So that's helpful to know too, because when a job is tilted towards those skills that you don't really enjoy, you can be very successful, but not feel content about that work. So to identify that, that's important. You also, your personality-based interests. So we all have different personalities. And so we kind of go to a job or a career with a different interest. So some people are very much realists. They love to work with their hands. They like to say at the end of the day, they built something or they fixed something, whatever it might be. So they should gravitate towards jobs where they're going to get that satisfaction. But there may be others who are more in focused on helping others. And so if that's your personality-based interest, then you would really want to direct your career to ways that you can do that. But you got to know that before you start just picking jobs willy-nilly and deciding that that's what you want to do. And then the last thing we cover is values, which I think is really important because you can be using your strengths in a job and the skills you want to do, and it even can be aligned with your personality-based interests. But if the values of that organization don't align with yourself, you are not going to be happy. And that happens quite a lot. We hear a lot about toxic work environments. Mm-hmm. Right? Lots of times they're toxic, not necessarily because the work that the person is doing, but how they are having to work and who they're having to work with and how they're being treated. And if that is not aligned with how they value or what they value, yeah, it's a huge problem. So uncovering all this really is so important, because then when you are thinking about your career or thinking about jobs that might be of interest, you can do a better job of vetting them to make sure that they are better aligned with you. You can ask good questions of your interviewers. You can ask others who know about the organization more about the things that are important to you. And it's always a risk when you take a new job, but you can try to reduce the risk that it's a bad fit by doing all those things.
Yeah, you know, it's as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about my career, and I put myself through college working as a bookkeeper. And you know what? I was good at it, but I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. It was just not for me. And when you talk about, and you know, I like the Strengths Finder, which is the UMAP is sort of based on the top five Clifton strengths that you get from that. And you know, it really, those types of assessments really do help you understand yourself. And I will never forget when I first had my first website, which is a career publishing, career site, just publishing information. And it was before WordPress. So, you know, this is like in 2000. And my husband, who's the geek around here, was trying to teach me how to just code the HTML page just to put up a, and I was trying so hard and I was literally crying because I just couldn't do it. And so, you know, when you do an assessment like that and you work with someone like you, you can avoid falling into those pitfalls because, and one of the things that, and I'm sure that the UMAP focuses on this as well, is not so much your strengths and your like weaknesses, but things that are easier for you, that are more comfortable for you, and then maybe you're naturally better at, and so you kind of enjoy it more.
Yeah, as coaches, we delve deep into those, and we talk really about how you use that skill, so you understand how you use it, and how your skills interact with each other, because what happens when you think about it, you end up being quite unique in how you do a job as opposed to somebody else, because you realize that as you are going through that. So I like to give the example of somebody who's working inbound customer service. We've all talked to those people, and we all know that we've had very different experiences, right, with mm-hmm. the people that we've talked to, because they approach the job very differently. Now, they can be very successful doing that in different ways. But when it comes to a job, one of the things that you want to do is you want to be able to explain to an employer what makes you unique, why they would really be, have a great outcome if you are brought on board.
Yes.
So you're able to then talk to that and explain that and give mm-hmm. examples of that in your interviews. And that's very, very powerful because a lot of people will come to the interviews and they honestly can't really talk about themselves or how they do the job. But because you've done all that exploration, you really understand it and you can talk with confidence.
Oh, I absolutely, absolutely. You know, what people often think, maybe I'm sure some of your clients, certainly some of the clients that I've worked with, is that, well, my title and my job, you know, that is kind of enough. But what they forget is people in similar positions at similar types of companies, like marketing manager at Adidas and a marketing manager at Nike, for example, they're kind of doing the same thing. And it's how they do it and the impact that they have that really is what sets them apart.
Right, exactly. Exactly, because I always tell people, once you get to the interview, mostly people have the same sort of background, experience, mm-hmm. etc. But what will set you apart, right, is how you're going to be approaching that job. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're going to be exploring in those interviews. So, yeah, own it. That's what I say, own it. Because people are like, well, what if they don't want that? Well, my answer is, if they don't want it, then you probably don't want to work there. To be honest, because then you're not using your strengths, your skills, and you're going to feel like it's not the right fit for you, right? You want somebody, an employer, to want you to do the things that you do well and you're interested in. That's why it can be very powerful, but you have to get in your mind that that's okay. You want to attract who you want to attract, but you want to repel the people you need to repel.
You know, you are preaching to the choir here, but I will tell you that the worst jobs I ever had were a bad fit. And I will remember one company that I worked for, and I am I go in and, okay, what can we change? What can we do better? I'm always that way, no matter what I'm doing, volunteer positions. But the company was very much, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're a small firm. We're doing the same thing the same way, like since our parents started it. And, you know, it was not a good fit for me. I was not happy there. And you know what? When they had to lay off people, I was the first one to go, even though I was not the last one hired, because, you know, it wasn't good on either side. So I'm going to ask you to share. You've already shared some great information. I'm going to ask you to share some tips for someone, because you've talked about the idea of, you know, understanding the company's values. So how do people find out when they go on the job interview? What do they do, say, ask to, you know, to kind of try to find that out before they do jump into something that's not a good fit?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's really important. So what I always, one of the things that I really tell my clients and anybody is, a lot of people will go to the internet and they'll look at questions to ask at the end of the interview. And they'll go, that seems like an interesting question, or that will make me look smart. And that's the wrong way to think about it. This should be a conversation that is a back and forth. They're getting information from you, and you should be doing the same thing. So I always suggest, figure out what is your non-negotiables for a job. So that list shouldn't be really, really long, but there should be things that are significant to that. And think about then what it is that you need to ask to make sure that that job has aligned with what you need. So as an example, let's say one of the important things for you is you cannot be micromanaged. That will drive you crazy. You've had it before. It was so uncomfortable. It was exhausting. You are not wanting to repeat that. Okay. Then you need to be talking to the hiring manager specifically, but if you also have peer interviews, talking about how and asking, how does that person, the hiring manager, how do they follow up? How often do they follow up? What methods do they use to follow up? What's the expectation when they follow up? When you ask those questions, then you're going to get a better sense of how that person operates. Okay. And now, could they be telling you a lie? They could be telling you a lie. More than often. If you ask a fair amount of people, they'll give you probably the truth of what the situation is. And then that gives you the information to tell whether that person is somebody that you can work with.
Yeah. So I've also heard and seen the idea of asking sort of what are your expectations, you know, for me in the first 30 days or something like that. Do you think something like that would be helpful to find out if it's like reasonable or completely unreasonable, or, you know, if it's something that you can work with?
Well, I think it's a good question to ask, because one of the things that really bothers a lot of people is they don't know what the expectations are. So they don't know if they're meeting them. And oftentimes they are not getting any feedback. And of course, many people then find that they're brought in for a performance improvement plan, or that doesn't even happen, and they're terminated for poor performance, and they're mystified because they don't have any idea what they were supposed to be doing that obviously the other side didn't think they were doing. So I think this is very helpful for you to understand how quickly they think you should be able to get up to speed. What are the expectations for learning? How is that going to happen? What kind of deliverables are expected and in what time frame? And then you can determine if that is reasonable or not. So sometimes based on your past experience, you might go, no, that's not how it works. I don't think I can be successful here if that is the expectation. And then again, that helps you make better decisions.
Yeah, I know. That's like a manager going in and saying, you know, I can't turn this hot mess around in a month. I mean, it's just like, it's just not working. So before, you know, we're getting sort of close to the end, and I want to switch back a little bit to the idea of switching careers. And I'd like to ask you, how can people manage their expectations? Because I've talked a lot about the idea that, you know, there's all these dream jobs, you have these dream jobs. And then when you get them, yeah, they may be great and you may love them, but nothing's going to be as dreamy as you expect. And how do you know, how can you sort of manage those expectations of what it's going to be like in this job that you're so excited to, the career you're excited to shift to?
Yeah. So I don't like to use dream job. I usually explain it as a job where you can thrive.
Okay.
So a little different framework. Mm-hmm. So job where you can thrive is really the focus on it's meeting your needs, right? You are able to grow in that role. It doesn't necessarily mean promotion, but it just means that you are continuing to learn to do different things, to challenge yourself. That's important. But no job doesn't have parts of it that you probably don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
I had a job that I adored. I loved my job, but there were parts of that job that I really detested.
And <Me too. laughs>
I just had to push through it and say, okay, this is the what I have to do to also be able to do all the fun things that I wanted to do and that were interesting to me. So one of the things I think is be realistic about it. And a good way to think about it is if you are doing, you know, 60, 70% of the things that you love to do, and you're doing a much smaller percentage of the things that you really are not that interested in, then that's good. That is something that is reasonable. But, you know, if you are in a job where the majority of the things that you are doing don't interest you, you're not good at, whatever, then obviously that is not a good fit. But there is no job that I know of where the person will say, I get to do 100% of all the fun things that I like to do. Doesn't work that way. You have to just to be reasonable in your expectation. And I think for most people, they get it. That if they're doing the majority of things that they like, they will tolerate the other parts. They're usually not going to go look for another job just because, you know, they have to, you know, put together a budget and they don't like to do it, or they have to do expense reports and they don't like to do it, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, you know, 100% that it's, and you hear even famous actors complaining about how, you know, being on the set when they're not actually in the scene is like watching paint dry, and they just, you know, it's not enjoyable. And so, of course, no job is going to be, nothing in life really is going to be just perfect. So, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things. I just want to say hi to my friend Sarah, who said that she started in education. And I will say that, Sarah, what you do right now, you're still educating people. So I think it was a good fit for you. And so I'd like to just ask you, so I've asked you, we've talked about a few different things. I'd like you to share, you know, some final thoughts, whatever you think that is important for people to know that I have not asked you, you know, we haven't discussed yet.
So one of the things I want to put out there, because I know a lot of people are very, they're feeling anxious about the job market.
Mm-hmm.
So either, obviously, if they've been released and or laid off, that situation is weighing upon them. Or it can be people that haven't, but they're feeling very stressed about what could happen. Okay. So these are very unsettling times. But I can say that, and you know, Annette, these times have happened before.
Mm-hmm.
They've happened many times before, and mm-hmm. they will happen likely again. So for some people, this is a new experience. For many people, this is a kind of a repeat experience. What I can say is that there always are opportunities out there. It may not seem like it, but I always give the example of myself in the Great Recession, which is one of the worst job markets we have had in mm-hmm. really in a long time. I was able to actually get two jobs during the Great Recession. Now, sometimes you have to take a job because of financial necessities that is not your ideal job. I get it. You got to pay the bills. You got to do what you got to do. But I was in that situation, and the first job I took really wasn't a good fit, but I was laid off and I needed to work. I needed insurance. But what ended up happening is I said to myself, I know this is not the right job, and I'm going to just continue looking until I find what I know will be the right job.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I really just said, I'm ignoring the job market. I'm just going to continue with my plan because I know that is the best for me. And sure enough, I did find a new job, and it was a wonderful job. And I stayed there for many years. So even when things look not great, there still are going to be opportunities. Don't put your plans on hold if it makes sense for your career to move forward. It may take you longer. You may have to work harder. But I would say just keep trying, because there will be employers hiring, and you may just find you end up in a great place.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. And I'm glad that you brought that up at the end. And I will say, my husband and I both lost our jobs 2 weeks before we got married. And you know what? We both live to tell about it. So, and every job market has its own challenges.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Well, again, I thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a treat and a pleasure to chat with you, as always. And for everyone out there, have a great rest of your day. If you're watching us on the replay, please say hello, or listening on the podcast. So have a great rest of your day. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Smarter Career and Business Moves podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe.